are those who understand what the will of the Lord is. And the Bible commands us not to be unwise, but instead to understand the will of the Lord. Those who are wise are those who have spiritual insight. And that is, they understand something about the mind of God, something about the heart of God, and who God is and what God has said. And those who don't know anything about God, who don't understand the mind and heart of God, are not wise. Wisdom, ladies and gentlemen, insight, spiritual insight, and wisdom depends on our understanding of what God wants. That is, when we're dealing with the will of God, when the Bible says in Ephesians 5:17, when the Bible says not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is what God wants. And that is, we ask the question, what does God want from me? And what does God want for me? That's His will. That is, that's what He wills. That's His purpose. That's His plan. And that's what He wants. And God wants us to understand what His will is. And the will of God is not something obscure that you can't know about. It's not something that God has hidden away so that you can't find it. God wants you to know His will. He wants you to understand what His will is. And we discovered in the service this morning that you can know the will of God by being sensitive to the Spirit of God. And that is, the Spirit of God is speaking and operating and working in, among us and within us. And His purpose is to lead us and direct us in such a way that we can know what the will of God is. He wants you to know the will of God. And so we need to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, getting to know the Spirit of God. God, how He operates and how to be sensitive to Him as He is speaking and operating and leading. And I said to you that if you and I are going to know the will of God, be wise and know the will of God, then we need to be aware of the direction of God. We need to be paying attention to those doors that God opens, those doors that God shuts, and those circumstances that God's ordering in our life. And the reason why is because oftentimes God works through the circumstances around us to direct our life. We need to just be aware of the direction of God. And I said to you that we also need to be students of the Word of God. That is, if we're going to know what the will of God is and be wise, then we got to get into this book and we've got to read it and we got to find out what it says and study it and find out what it means. That is, the Word of God reveals to us what the will of God is. That is, if you're waiting for God to write it in the clouds, you're going to be probably never going to find the will of God because He's written it in a book. It's called the Bible. And if you're waiting for God to write it on a 2x4 and slap you upside the head with it, you're probably not going to know the will of God for your life. But I want to say to you that if you get in this book, God has prepared a book. And in that book, God has revealed to us what His will is. Now, we got into the book a little bit this morning and we discovered, number one and first of all, that the will of God is for you to be saved. And that is, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that nobody will perish. That is, that no one will suffer under divine judgment. But God's will and God's purpose is for those who are under the judgment of His wrath to be delivered from that and to be saved from it. God wants you to be saved. It's His will for you to repent, to turn from your sinful condition. If you're lost, to turn to Christ. God wants to save you. Listen, think about what God has done to save you. Think about the Son of God that He sent to die for you, and think about the Spirit of God that He sent to draw you, and you'll begin to understand how much God wants you to be saved. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he kind of confirmed this truth in 1 Timothy chapter 2 when he wrote these words. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Listen to this. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." The Bible says there the reason why the people of God ought to be motivated to pray and seek God and pray for all men is because God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is for you to be saved. And if you're here and you're lost, God wants to save you. You're listening to this message by some of the means. God wants you to be saved. If you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. We have a great Old Testament illustration of this truth before I move to my next point. And that is back in the Old Testament, you'll meet a man by the name of Jonah. And the Bible tells us that God called him to go and to preach to the people of Nineveh and tell them that, listen, they've got 40 days before they're going to be destroyed. His message was, you need to repent or God's judgment is going to fall on you. Now listen, these were not Jews. These were Ninevites. They were Assyrians, ladies and gentlemen. They were idolaters. They were the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. And they cared nothing about God. And I tell you that they were within 40 days of the judgment of God upon them. But I want you to know that God wanted the Ninevites to be saved. It was His will to save them. As a matter of fact, God went through a lot of trouble to save them from divine judgment. He called a prophet named Jonah. He had to pick him off of a boat in the middle of the storm. He had to get a fish ready to swallow him up to get him straightened out in the belly of the fish. The fish had to be timed just right to spit him out in the right direction onto the dry ground. Listen, it took a lot of work for God to just get His prophet ready, but God loved the people of Nineveh, and God prepared a prophet and sent that prophet to preach to the people of Nineveh so that they might be able to repent and be saved from the wrath of God. An Old Testament illustration of a New Testament truth, and that is that God doesn't want anybody to perish. It's not His will for anybody to perish, but God wants for all men to be saved. And that's the will of God. Number one will of God for all of us is the will of God for you to be saved. If you're not saved, God wants to bring you to the point of repentance, brokenness over your sin, and to the point where your heart turns to Christ and believes and receives Him. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to be saved. So what is the will of God? If I'm going to understand what the will of God is, that's number one. God wants me to be saved. There's a second thing I need to speak to you for a little while about this evening, and that is not only is it the will of God for you to be saved, but it is also the will of God for you to be surrendered. The will of God is for you to be surrendered. You can be turning in your Bible to Romans chapter number 12, and it's there that you and I learn something about the will of God. That is how you and I can experience the will of God in our life. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and verse number 1, Paul is begging them, he's praying them, he's beseeching them. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to this next phrase, that you may prove. And this idea of proving is to know by experience. So that you may prove or know by experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How can I know what the will of God is? How can I experience the will of God in my life? Number one, God wants you to be saved. But now we're learning here that God wants you to be surrendered. And that is that God wants you to surrender everything of yourself to Him. God wants you to live a surrendered life. The will of God for you, ladies and gentlemen, is to live a surrendered life. Some of you are here, and I tell you, you're not saved. And you say, Pastor, I don't know how to get saved. The Bible says to repent. That is to turn from your old sinful self and to turn to Christ. Now listen to me now. If you'll turn to Him and you'll surrender everything to Him and you'll rest your faith in who He is and what He did, God will save you. But some of you are here, and you've been saved. And then maybe some of you have been saved like me for a number of years. I want to tell you that the will of God for our life is for you and I to be surrendered. That is for you and I to not hold anything back from Him, but to lay everything on the altar before Him and to surrender everything that we are and everything that we ever will be, to surrender it all to Him, to be completely surrendered to Him. That's the idea of Romans 12 and verse number 1. Where Paul is telling us that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That is, the idea is to surrender ourselves completely to Him. And like a sacrifice in the Old Testament, God wants you to surrender yourself completely to Him, not hold anything back. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. And if you are saved, He wants you to surrender and live a surrendered life. That is a life of presenting yourself as a living sacrifice unto Him. The surrendered life is the will of God for each one of us that is here this evening. Now in verse number 1, he's talking about surrendering your body. That is your physical body to Him. Now listen, when I'm talking about surrendering your body to Him, I'm talking about everything that pertains to your body. That is all of the energy of your body. and all the members of your body, and that is to give your eyes to Him so you look at what God wants you to look at, and you give ears to Him so that you hear what God wants you to hear, and you surrender your heart to Him, that is your inner man, so that you can know Him and walk with Him, and to surrender your feet to Him so you go the places God wants you to go, and surrender your hands to Him so you do the things God wants you to do. In other words, I'm talking about a surrender of your entire life. That is, when the Bible says that you and I need to surrender or present our bodies to Him, that's what it's talking about. There's three things in this verse that you and I ought to notice, and first is this, and that is the presentation. The presentation. The Bible says here that you and I ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That idea of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, the idea of presenting is the idea of surrendering something over to God. It's rooted in the Old Testament sacrifices. And that is, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, those who brought their sacrifices to the temple or the tabernacle, they brought their animal or they brought their fruit or grain or whatever it was they were sacrificing, and they handed it over to the priest. And the blood would be shed if it was an animal. Parts of it would be cooked if it was an animal. If it was fruit, it would be offered up to God as a sacrifice, maybe a wave offering. And then it would be stored up into the storehouses of God. And it was given over. It was surrendered. The sacrifice was brought to the priest, and you would give it to the priest, and the priest would take the sacrifice and offer it up. And that is, you would take your hands off of it and give it over. And that's the idea here when the Bible says that you and I need to present a sacrifice to God as well. And the sacrifice that we need to present to God is our bodies. That is, it's us. It's the house that we live in. It's the means by which we function on this planet. That is, when God sent you into the world, you were conceived in the womb of your mother. Divine life was conceived in her womb. And then over the next months, God designed a body for that life to live in. And when you were born into the world, your body was born into this world, and your life was housed inside of that body. And that body that God has given you is a body that God wants you to keep surrendered to Him. That is, that house that you're living in, that life that you're, that ability to function in this life, surrendered to Him. Every part of it surrendered to God for His glory. You say, Pastor, I don't understand how to surrender my body to Him for His glory. Well, first of all, it's just by recognizing that it belongs to Him, that it's His body. Body and not mine. Listen, I didn't put myself together in my mother's womb. If I had of, I'd look a little different than what I do right now. I didn't do it. I didn't design this body. But I tell you that God is the one who designed this body inside my mother's womb. And listen to me now, not only did I not design this body, but listen to me now, I don't own this body as well. Hey, it belongs to Him. Listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and which you have of God, and you're not your own? Don't you know this already? And that is that the Holy Spirit of God is living on the inside of you. If you're a child of God, if you've been born again, He lives in you. That means that your body is the temple of God, and that He lives on the inside of you, and therefore you don't belong to you. You belong to Him. Your body belongs to Him. Hey, you've been bought with the price. The price is at Mount Calvary. And for that reason, we ought to glorify God in our body and also in our spirit. That is, our life that's housed on the inside of this body, as well as the body itself, ought to be used for the glory of God. And the reason why is because it belongs to Him. That is, our body belongs to the Lord. And so that's the reason why whenever Paul's writing in the book of Romans, he said that we ought to present our bodies to Him. And that is, as a living sacrifice to God. You ought to abandon your body to Him and say, God, I know this body belongs to You. It's not mine, and I can't do with it whatever I want to do. And I need to do those things that glorify You and that alone. If it doesn't glorify God, you have no business engaging your body in it. I'm going to say it again. If it doesn't glorify God, you have no business engaging your body in it. You have no business allowing your eyes to look at that which doesn't glorify God, your ears to hear what doesn't glorify God, your feet to go where it doesn't glorify God, your hands to do what doesn't glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, you should not be engaged in it. That's what it means, ladies and gentlemen, to present your bodies unto God. When Paul was writing to the Philippians, he said with all boldness in Philippians 1:20, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That is, I want to use my body to magnify him. In 2 Corinthians 4:10, he says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. Paul says, listen, as I journey through life, my body's going through a lot of trials and a lot of troubles, but he said, there's somebody living on the inside of me. It's his life living in me. And my purpose in life with this body that I've been given is that Jesus might be magnified through my body. That his life might be magnified through my body. In Romans chapter number 6, the apostle writes, and as he writes about what we do with our body. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11, he writes this, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. His idea to think of yourself as being dead to sin and alive to God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Or say it again, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust, that is the evil desires, the lust thereof, neither yield your members, the members of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves, surrender yourselves to God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In other words, the Bible is saying that, listen, you have been, that you have died with Christ, you've died to sin, and now you're alive, made alive in Christ. You've got resurrection life, and those who have resurrection life, ladies and gentlemen, shouldn't allow sin to reign in your mortal body. You shouldn't obey the old sinful lust of the body. And that is when your humanity, that is when your body wants to go in the wrong direction, you just don't go in that direction. You say no to your own flesh. And don't allow it to dominate your life. Don't let sin have dominion over you. And the reason why is because sin's control has been broken. Instead, the Bible says, yield yourself to God. Yield the instruments of your body. Yield yourself to God. Every part of your body, yield it to Him and say, God, here I am. And here's my body. I'm talking about the presentation. I'm talking about you and I laying our body on the altar and say, God, here it is. And I'm surrendering myself to you. Now listen, I'm talking to you about the will of God. The will of God is for you to be surrendered. That is to surrender your body to the Lord. Here I am, God. I surrender myself to Him. Every part of my life, every part of my body, every part of my being, I surrender myself completely to you as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they offered sacrifices, and those sacrifices many times, the animal sacrifices anyway, many times ended up dead. They were brought to the priest, and the priest would take the sacrifice, and he would offer the sacrifice, and the sacrifice would end up dead. But I want you to know that God doesn't want you to be a dead sacrifice. He wants you to be a living sacrifice. And that is, He wants you to be the sacrifice like Isaac was in the Old Testament. Isaac is a good example of a living sacrifice. And that is that Isaac willingly lay himself on the altar one day. You remember the story, don't you? In Genesis 22, when the Bible says that God spoke to Abraham, and He says, I want you to take your son, your only son, that is your promised son Isaac, up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And the Bible says that Abraham got the fire and he got the wood and he took his son and he started traveling towards Mount Moriah. When they got up to the top of the mountain, he built his altar and laid the wood in order on the altar. And ladies and gentlemen, he laid his son on the altar, and there was Isaac. Hey, Isaac is on the altar. Isaac's body is laying on the altar. You remember, as the story goes, the Bible tells us that Abraham was about ready to plunge the knife through the body of his son and offer him as a sacrifice to God, when God spoke from yonder and said, listen, I know now that you really trust me. And the Bible says that he told him there's a ram caught in the thickets over here, and I want you to offer that in the place of your son, in the place of Isaac. Now there's so many beautiful pictures in that story, and one of them is a picture of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ for our sins, like that ram was offered in the place of Isaac. But one of the lessons that you and I should learn is about this man named Isaac. He laid himself on the altar. Laid himself down. Offered himself up. And then when he got up off that altar, ladies and gentlemen, he got offered there as a living sacrifice. A man who laid everything on the altar, he was willing to give everything to the Lord. If God said he was to be offered as a sacrifice, he was willing to lay it all on the line. And you see, that's what God has called us to. And that is, God has called you and I to abandon everything to Him like Isaac did. to surrender everything that we are to Him like Isaac did. To lay everything on the altar and say, God, I'm not much, but here's all that I am. And I surrender myself completely to You. And when we get up off of that altar, so that we are a living sacrifice. And that is a sacrifice that's been offered up to God and is now ready to live for Him. Ready to walk with Him. Ready to obey Him. Ready to follow Him. Ready to be what God wants us to be. Listen, you'll never be what God wants you to be until you find an altar where you can lay yourself out and surrender yourself to Him like Isaac did. God wants you to be a living sacrifice. He wants you to present yourself to Him. Like the sacrifices were presented, Lord, here I am. I surrender myself and everything that I am to You. Now that's God's will for your life. You say, Pastor, I sure would like to know what the will of God is. I'm telling you, He wants you to be surrendered. If you want to prove, Romans 12:2, if you want to prove or know by experience that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, you got to start in verse number 1. You got to start on the altar, laying yourself before Him, your body, as a living sacrifice to Him. I'm talking to you about the presentation, but let me talk to you about the preparation. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1, you might have noticed there that the Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then it goes on and it says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In the Old Testament, sacrifices that were offered are sacrifices that had to be prepared. Some of those sacrifices were grain offerings that were brought to the Lord. And those were the first fruits of the crop. And they had to be planted and they had to be cultivated. And then they had to be reaped. And then they had to be brought to the temple of the tabernacle. And making sure that all of that was brought was exactly what it ought to be. If it was an animal sacrifice, that animal had to be cared for. That animal had to be grown. And that animal had to be without any kind of blemish. God was very particular. And that is that you could not offer up any sacrifices that had any blemish in it. It had to be holy. No blemish. It couldn't be sick. It couldn't be crippled. It couldn't be blemished. It had to be, listen, it had to be an animal, ladies and gentlemen, that was holy or set aside for a sacrifice. And it had to be a sacrifice that was acceptable or well-pleasing to the Lord, that brought pleasure to Him. And so there was all this preparation in order to offer the sacrifice. And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you and I are going to do the will of God, if we're going to surrender ourselves to Him, then there's not only the presentation, Lord, here I am, but there's also the preparation. And that is that I've got to make myself, listen, I've got to make myself presentable to Him. Isn't that what I mean here when it says that you need to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, and then there's those two phrases, holy and acceptable unto God. The idea of holiness here means without blemish, without any defect, as we would expect in the Old Testament sacrifices. But I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that what God expected in the Old Testament, He also expects of His people in the New. If you've been saved by the grace of God, God's will for you is to be holy. To offer yourself up to Him as a living sacrifice and to offer yourself up holy. That is, without any blemish. To Him. You say, Pastor, but I've got some blemishes. I know you do, and that's why I'm preaching this. The reason why I am is because there's some things in your life that need to be dealt with so that you can step right into the will of God. So that you can present yourself holy to Him, set apart to Him. The Bible says this, and it's one of my favorite verses in 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he had written to them in the previous chapter about God's promise to them about being sons and daughters, and he said that we've got all these promises from God, and in light of them, we need to clean ourselves up. And that is everything that is filthy, the filthiness of the flesh, deal with the lust of the flesh, the desires of our fallen humanity. And then there's the filthiness of the spirit as well. Ladies and gentlemen, not only outward sins and outward filthiness, but I tell you, we can get filthy on the inside of our spirit, that is, in our soul. We can develop bad attitudes. We can develop bitterness, all kinds of nasty stuff on the inside. And the Bible says here that it commands us to cleanse ourselves from all of this kind of filthiness and to perfect holiness in our life to perfect holiness in the fear of God. God wants you to be holy. And you say, Pastor, I wish God would make me holy. Hey, listen to me now, for you're a child of God. Why don't you just kick in and help Him out a little bit here? And that is, there are some things in your life that God has given you the privilege of knowing is not right. That is, you probably already know what those things are. There are areas of your life that are filthy. There are areas of your life that are ungodly. There are areas of your life that grieve the Spirit of God. And the Bible is telling us here that those areas of our life, we need to cleanse ourselves. We need to wash those areas out of our life and begin to perfect, to mature, to grow in holiness before God, set apart to God. I don't know what it might be in your life, but whatever it is, you ought to just go ahead and get rid of it. So you can present yourself to God as a living sacrifice, holy, before Him, set apart to Him. That is, I don't want to use my body for that reason anymore. I don't want to use my body for sinful purposes. I don't want to harbor in my soul or in my life that ungodliness on the inside of me. I don't want to harbor that ungodliness in my mind. It's got to go. And that is, cleanse yourself from all of this and perfect holiness. Well, the Bible tells us, and Peter reminds us of the Old Testament, in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 15, we read these words, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." God expected His people in the Old Testament to be holy, and God expects His people in the New Testament to be holy as well. You say, Pastor, listen to me. Pastor, I'm saved, and I'm so glad you are. You've stepped into the will of God. And now that you're saved, God wants you to be surrendered, to live a surrendered life to Him, to present yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. And the one of the things that you must do in preparation for that presentation is to set yourself apart to Him and set yourself apart from sin. If it's sin, get away from it. If it's ungodly, stay away from it. Hey, if your friends are ungodly, get away from them. Make some new friends. You say, Pastor, I'm going to witness to them. Then witness to them, but don't allow them to influence your life. Share the gospel with them. Share the gospel with them and then go on. But don't allow them to dominate your life. Listen to me now, if you're watching ungodly stuff, stop watching it. If you're listening to ungodly music, stop listening to it. If it doesn't glorify God, you shouldn't be listening to it if you're going to be surrendered to God and going to be a living sacrifice. Get rid of that stuff out of your life. I'm trying to tell you what it means to perfect holiness in the fear of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, to lay yourself on the altar and say, God, here I am. I want to live for You. I surrender myself to You. And God's saying, this has got to go. That's what God does when He takes over a life. God starts weeding out the weeds in your life. He starts straightening out the wrinkles in your life. He starts cleansing the dirty areas of your life. That's God's will, for you to become a living sacrifice. That is, for you to be surrendered to Him. You're going to be surrendered to Him, then you got to prepare the sacrifice. That's you, and you do that by presenting yourself holy to God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. If you want God to be able to use you, then you've got to cleanse yourself from everything that is ungodly, everything that is secular, and you got to set yourself apart for the glory of God. Presenting ourselves holy unto God. And maybe you notice that next phrase, not only presenting ourselves holy to God, but also the Bible says we need to present ourselves acceptable unto God. Acceptable. The idea of acceptable is the idea of well-pleasing. So when you and I present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, we are to present ourselves to Him in a manner which is well-pleasing to God. That's pleasing to Him. In the Old Testament, as I've mentioned, worshipers couldn't just offer anything to God, could they? Oh, no. No, just ask Cain. He found that out, didn't he? You can't just bring anything to God. It had to be the offering required by God, or it wasn't well-pleasing to Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that in the same way, if you want to present yourself to Him, you need to present yourself to Him in the manner that's well-pleasing to Him. That's acceptable to Him. I'm talking to you about how to be surrendered. That is, how to be surrendered to God. You got to prepare the sacrifice, and that is you, and that is you got to find out what's well-pleasing unto the Lord. That is what is going to bring pleasure to God. That is, if I'm going to offer a sacrifice to God, then I need to offer that sacrifice that is well-pleasing to Him. Now, the Bible tells us, when you read the Bible, you find out what's well-pleasing to the Lord. We know, first of all, and primarily, His Son is well-pleasing to Him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well-pleased. And so we know that God's purpose, ladies and gentlemen, is to transform our lives so that we become more like Jesus Christ in all the areas of our life. And that's what is well-pleasing unto Him. But you know that there are some other sacrifices that you can offer up that are well-pleasing to God. Why we find that Paul was writing about it in Philippians chapter number 4. In Philippians chapter number 4, listen to what he writes beginning of verse number 10. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. Wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul is saying to the Philippians, I'm so thankful to God that you are helping me out once again. Now, when the Bible says here they were helping him out, that means that they were sending material help to the Apostle Paul. The believers at Philippi were especially, during his times of imprisonment, they were helping him out. They were sending material goods to him. Now, Paul says in verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, to be content. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm not begging for anything. He said, whatever state I'm in, I'm going to be content. If I have a lot, he says in verse number 12, if I have a lot, I'll be content with what I have. But if I don't have much of anything, if I'm abased, I don't have much of anything, I'm going to be content in that as well. He said, if I'm full, I'm happy. And if I'm hungry, I'm going to be content as well. I found that I'm going to be content. I can do all things, he said, through Christ who strengthens me. Whether things are good or things are bad, he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But he said, you did well because you communicated with me in my affliction. You shared with me your material goods while I was going through a time of affliction. Now listen to what he says in verse number 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent to you. Listen to this now. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. If I'm going to lay everything that I am on the altar and surrender everything that I am to Him, that is everything that is acceptable or well-pleasing to Him, then how do I do that? Well, one of the things we learn right here in Philippians 4 that is well-pleasing to God is if I surrender all of my materials to God. That is everything that I have. That is, if I surrender everything materially, when I surrender myself to God and completely surrender to Him, that means I take all the things, the assets that I have, the money that I have, the material things that I have, and I lay that on the altar. And I say, God, here's everything that I have. That is, I'm just not laying this body, but everything materially that is connected to this body. You see, the reason why that you and I work and make a little bit of money is so that we can feed this body. And so that we can house this body. And so that we can transport this body. And so that we can care for this body when it gets sick. And I can keep going on and on. But the reason why that you have a house to live in is because you have a body that needs a house. And the reason why that you have food in your cupboard is because you got a belly that needs some food. And the reason why you got some money in the bank is because you've got a body that you need to take care of as long as you are in this world. Here's what I'm trying to say. When the Bible says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, it's not just this body, but it's everything connected to this body, and that includes our wealth. Lord, this is all yours. I give it to you. Now, I'm talking to you about the will of God. Now, don't be unwise on me, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of God is for you to be completely surrendered, and that is to lay your body on the altar and everything connected to your body, everything material in your life, to lay all of that on the altar and say, God, here it all is. Lord, I give it to you. It's not mine, it's yours. Now some of you are like I am and you believe in tithing. And that is you believe in giving to God at least a tenth of what it is that God has blessed you with. And that's an Old Testament principle that Jesus, I believe, confirms in the New. And even goes beyond that into grace giving, which is giving above and beyond what we're required to in the New Testament. And I believe in tithing. But I want you to know that I recognize, and you do too, that divine ownership is not about 10%, it's about 100%. And that is, God's will for me is to surrender all that I have that pertains to the material aspect of my life, to place it all on the altar. Now, that's what's well-pleasing to God. That's the sacrifice that is acceptable to God, that's well-pleasing to the Lord. I'm talking about our wealth. Placing our wealth on the altar and say, God, here it all is. Hey, I'm not only talking about our wealth, but I'm also talking about our witness. Do you know one of the sacrifices that is well-pleasing to the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, is for you and I to use our body to be a bold witness for the glory of God. To be a bold witness for the glory of God. Well, Paul wrote about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Listen to what he wrote. When he was writing to the believers at Thessalonica, he said this, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." What is God well pleased with? He's well pleased with Paul as he's sharing the gospel. In other words, Paul is saying that, listen, God entrusted me with the gospel message, and I'm sharing that gospel, not motivated by pleasing men, but I'm doing it to please God, because God is well pleased. When you and I lay our bodies on the altar, when we offer ourselves, present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and say, Lord, I want to present myself acceptable or well pleasing to you, the Word of God reveals to us what's well pleasing. Pleasing to Him. And that is, what's well pleasing to Him is that we get our wealth involved in that sacrifice. And what's well pleasing to Him is that we get our witness involved in that sacrifice. And say, Lord, wherever you want me to go and share the gospel, I'll go. Whoever you want me to share the gospel with, I'll share the gospel. That is, to surrender ourselves to be the witness that God has called us to be. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that that's well pleasing to God? That is, surrendering our wealth and surrendering our witness. And listen, you're going to talk about something or somebody. You may brag about your job. You may brag about your accomplishments. You may brag about your sports feats. You may brag about your grandkids. But I tell you that if you'll lay yourself on the altar and get surrendered to God in your witness, you'll go around bragging about Him. Talking about surrender, that's the will of God, for me to be surrendered to Him. To be surrendered, ladies and gentlemen, in the area of wealth, and to be surrendered in the area of my witness. Hey, God wants you and I to be surrendered in the area of our worship. Now, everybody worships something or somebody. We all do. And listen, when you get everything surrendered on the altar and offer up to Him, become a living sacrifice, one that is well-pleasing to Him, it's going to be a sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, of our worship, that our worship is going to be focused on Him. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter number 13 and verses 15 and 16. It says this, "But to do good and to communicate," verse 15, "by Him, by Christ, let us therefore offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." One of the sacrifices that you and I can offer, the Bible says, is the sacrifice of praise. The fruit that we can offer as a sacrifice is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And then He says, by the way, to do good and to communicate. And that word communicate brings us back to sharing materially what we have with others. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So I want to know, what kind of a sacrifice is acceptable to God? How can I offer my body in a way that's acceptable to Him? Well, you can lay your body on the altar with all of your wealth. You can lay your body on the altar with your witness. You can lay your body on the altar with your worship. And that is, are you going to offer unto Him with this body? That is, the body that you live in, that this body has been set aside, ladies and gentlemen, to worship and to praise Him and to give thanks to Him. That's the idea in this passage. That is, when you and I become a living sacrifice, present ourselves to Him. We've got to prepare for that by preparing ourselves to be acceptable, well-pleasing to Him. And that's by surrendering our wealth, and that's by surrendering to Him our witness, and that's by surrendering Him our worship. Peter writes about that too, by the way, in 1 Peter chapter number 2. Listen to what he writes. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, he says this, "You also as lively or living stones are built up a spiritual house." You are like a stone in a house. And God's building the spiritual house. It's a holy priesthood. You know the reason, you know what they do in that holy house? It's like you're a temple in that house to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Peter says it's like God's building a temple. And he's building it out of stones. And you're one of those stones. If you're saved, you're one of those stones. And there's this temple, and then the temple sacrifices are being offered. And you're one of the stones. And in that building where sacrifices are being offered unto God. It's like you're a priesthood. And that is, you're not only the stones in the building, but you're like the priest inside the building offering spiritual sacrifices that are well-pleasing or acceptable to God. You say, well, what kind of a priesthood is this? Well, he tells us in verse number 9. He says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what kind of sacrifices will be offering, are being offered up in this temple that God is building, in this spiritual house that God is building that you're a part of? What kind of sacrifices that are acceptable to him? The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, it's you and I showing forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Sure, it's our worship. That is our body being set aside to use our wealth for his glory. Our body set aside to use this tongue to be a witness for his glory. Our body set aside so that you and I can worship. Use our body to worship. Hey, it's all right to take your tongue and praise God with it. Amen. I mean, you can sing to the Lord with your tongue. You can talk about God with your tongue. You can wave your hands and worship the Lord. You can bow your knees and worship him. Hey, use your body, the energy of your body, to worship him. That's the idea. God's pleased with that. You lay your body on the altar. So I'm giving my body to you, God. To use every part of my wealth. To use every part of my witness. To use every part of my worship. To be focused and centered on you. Hey, did you know that God, you can please God in your walk? In your walk. That is, God, I want to give you. Here I am. I give myself to you. So I can walk in a way that pleases you. Well, the Bible tells us then, over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, listen to chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Pleasing God in our walk. Paul writes to the believers and he says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. In other words, Paul said, remember when I was with you in Thessalonica? Remember after you got saved? He said, I taught you how to walk in a way that pleases God. And he says, I'm writing to you now and praying for you that you would abound more and more in the walk that pleases God. So when the Bible tells us that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, and pleasing to God, what pleases God? The Bible tells us. And that is to learn, listen, to give ourselves to him and say, God, here I am. Here's my body and here's everything that I am. With all of my wealth, I give it to you. With my tongue, my witness, I lay before you, God. And my worship, I want my worship to be all about you. I'm going to use my body to worship you, to witness for you, to accumulate wealth that we can use for your glory. And God, I want for my walk, that is the way I use my body, the walk of my life, the direction of my life, I want it to be that which pleases you and glorifies you. Well, you remember Enoch, don't you? Remember the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, that guy, he's a unique kind of guy. That is the man named Enoch. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about him, except we know he was a godly man, and we know he was a man who walked with God, and we know he was a man who pleased God. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11:5 tells us this. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He's the one man that didn't die. He was, listen, God took him home. The Bible says he just wasn't found because God translated him. One day, Enoch was walking with God, and as he was walking with God, God just took him home. And nobody found him. They didn't find his body anywhere because God just took him and nobody found him. He got raptured out of this life. Enoch did. But he had a testimony, the Bible says. Verse number 5, Hebrews 11, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He sure did. And ladies and gentlemen, you know what he did? He just walked with God. He walked with God in a way that brought pleasure to God. Now I'm going to say to you, that's God's will for your life. For you to surrender yourself, lay yourself on the altar and say, God, here I am. Here's me. And I want to be holy. And I want to offer myself up in holiness and acceptable, well-pleasing to you. So here I am, with all of my wealth to be used for your glory. Here I am, with the witness of my tongue to be all about you. Here I am, Lord, I'm not going to worship anything or anyone else. You're first place in my life. You're more important than the sale down at Walmart. You're more important than the ball game down at the ball field. Lord, my worship, I surrender myself to you completely. To my worship, laying it there on the altar. And my walk, the direction of my life. God, I surrender to you. I yield it to you. I abandon it to you. I don't want to hold on to it. God, I want you to be pleased. I lay myself before you at your pleasure. Use me for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. Now listen, that's the will of God for you. To find yourself on your face before God, completely surrendered to Him. Not holding back anything. That's where He's trying to bring you to. That's where God wants us to visit every once in a while. That place of surrendering our body to Him. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. There's the presentation. There's the preparation, holy and acceptable unto God. There's the purpose or the reason why we ought to do it. Paul said it's just your reasonable service. Man, it's the right thing to do. Those who've been touched by the mercy of God. Verse number 1 of chapter 12. Listen, I beseech you on the basis of God's mercy. The reasonable and right thing to do. For those who've experienced God's mercy and salvation. Is to surrender themselves completely to Him. And say, here's every part of me. Surrender their body to Him. As a living sacrifice to be holy and to be well-pleasing to Him. Listen, that's what God wills for your life. You say, what does God want from me? That's what He wants. He wants you to be surrendered completely, everything to Him. It's been 43 years ago for me. I got saved when I was 13 years old. I'm going to tell you a little story and I'll be done. I got saved when I was 13 years old. When I got saved, when I was 13, I'm so thankful to God. Listen, I was rejoicing. The peace and the joy lived on the inside of me. But I didn't know much about walking with God after I got saved. Now, not because folks didn't teach me, but I guess I was a little distracted. And I was coasting along as a teenager. A saved teenager. And I love the Lord. I love going to church. I love worshiping. And I love hearing the Bible preached. I love being around the people of God. And then one Easter Sunday, it was the first Sunday in April of that year. And I was sitting there in the pew where my family and I were at that on that Easter Sunday. And I tell you, God started doing something in my heart on that Easter Sunday. Now, I didn't understand what it was. All I knew is that God started dealing with me very strongly during that service. There was a burden on my heart, ladies and gentlemen, that I had not experienced since I got saved. That is, when I was lost and my heart was burdened over my lostness and I knew I was lost. And all of a sudden, I found myself now as a 15-year-old sitting in that service and my heart was burdened before God and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what it was. And after the service was over and we went home and had a little Easter lunch and there was people over for Easter that day and my heart was so burdened I couldn't hardly eat. And I didn't know what it was or what was going on, but I knew that it got so bad. My heart was so heavy. It got so bad that finally I went to my mom and said, Mom, I gotta talk to somebody or do something. Something's going on with me and my soul. And so So she and my dad took me down to the pastor's house, and they were still having Easter too, but I had a godly pastor who would take time to sit down and talk with me, and sat down there at the kitchen table. He began to talk to me about how God deals with people and how God operates in people's lives, and we talked for a little while, and he talked about, you know, believers and sin and things like that, and we talked for a good little while, and then we prayed, and he prayed for me, and I felt better. Felt like I'd done the right thing by going to him and sitting down and talking. At first I thought maybe this thing was settled, but I wasn't really sure what it was, but it wasn't. And that is, God kept burdening my heart and speaking to my life. And I started going to the altar. That is, in the invitation time during the services, I'd be down there on the altar. And some of you like to come. I went to the altar. God was dealing with me, and I didn't know what it was, and speaking to me, and I wasn't sure what it was that he was speaking to me about. And I was crying out to God, "Lord, whatever it is you're trying to say to me, Lord, I'm listening. Whatever it is that you want to, whatever it is you're trying to do in me, I was repenting of everything I knew to repent of. I was getting right about everything I could think of I need to get right about. Anything that came to my mind, I confessed it to God, and I got it as right as I could. And I was seeking him. I was praying. I was talking to my pastor, and I was talking to other men in the church, going to them for counsel and having them pray with me. And remember one time they all gathered around me and prayed over me. I mean, listen, God was dealing with me and working in me, and in the process of that, ladies and gentlemen, God had me on the altar saying, "Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever your will is, that's what I'll do. God, whatever you're saying, that's what I want to do." God was bringing me to a point of surrender. Laying everything that I was. I wasn't much, but everything I was laying on the altar and seeking after God. Broken before God. It wasn't because of any circumstances in my life. It wasn't because something bad was happening around me. Everything was just normal around me. God was doing something in me. Spent that time on the altar week after week after week after week, seeking God and trying to find out what God was saying to me and what God was working in me about. Now, there's a lot I could tell you. I could tell you about my dad, who would get up in the middle of the night when I'd be in my bedroom and burdened before God and praying and seeking after God and not knowing what it was. And finally, I said, "I need help." And I'd go down to my dad and I'd wake him up in the middle of the night, and he would get up and he would take me to the pastor's home, and we would sit there and pray with them for a couple of hours or so. And my dad would go back home and go back to bed and get up at 5:30 to go to work. God was just working in me. I didn't know what it was. Until one Friday night. It was about 8 or 9 o'clock. I went up into my room. My little room was up in an attic room. And I went up in that room. I laid down there in my bed. My heart was so heavy. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit began to move in that room. And in me. And I was so full of the Spirit of God. He was so real in that room. The peace was so real. And He was so real. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart one word. All I could hear, if it had been thundering outside, if the wind had been blowing, I couldn't have heard it. All I could hear, not audibly, but louder, all I could hear was the word "preach." As a 15-year-old boy, shy, backwards, after that experience in my room, I tried to just keep it to myself. I didn't want to tell anybody about it. It's one of those things you hope would just maybe go away. I was scared to death. But ladies and gentlemen, the longer I tried to hide it, the stronger God was dealing with me. He wasn't going to let me get by with it. And I tried, but He kept dealing with me. Boy, my heart got burdened again. I found myself on the altar crying out to God and weeping before the Lord, seeking after Him and trying to figure out what in the world it was this time that God, what is this that God's dealing with me about? Went through periods of confusion about what in the world was going on. The pastor prayed for me, prayed with me. Other men in the church prayed for me. And prayed with me. This went on for a number of weeks. Finally, it was in the last of June. Strawberries were still ripening. My dad had a strawberry patch out there in the family garden. I was out there picking the strawberries. And out there in that strawberry patch, I said, "Lord, I can't figure this out. I don't know what it is you want, but I can't figure it out. I just have to give up to you." And out there in the strawberry patch, God reminded me of that night up there in my room on that Friday night when he spoke to my heart and called me to preach. God made it real to my heart that I wasn't going anywhere until I got that thing settled and straightened. God wasn't going to say anything else. Wasn't going to do anything else. But that was it. There wasn't going to be any other revelation. That was it. I said, "All right, Lord." The next Sunday, Sunday morning service, normal in our little church, and Sunday night, that Sunday night, the pastor decided to let one of the young men in the church preach, who had several men that had surrendered to preach, and one of the young guys named Tim was preaching that night. And I don't remember exactly what it was that he preached, but it was for me. And I sat there in the pew. I was about two-thirds of the way back, probably about where Dwayne's sitting back there. And all I could do was weep through the whole service. My heart was so broke before God. There wasn't anything left of me. And I wept all the way through the service, and the pastor got, Tim got done preaching, and the pastor gave the invitation. All I could do was just go at the altar and knelt down right up in the front, just about like this. And I said to my pastor, I said, his name is Carl, Brother Carl. I said, "Brother Carl, God's called me to preach." And he said, "I know." He said, "But I couldn't say anything, because that'd be God." I said, "I'm scared to death." And he said, "If you wouldn't, I'd say you wasn't called." And he and I prayed, and they're in the altar together. And then I had to get up and share that publicly with the church. And I want you to know that through all that process, God brought me to the point where I surrendered everything. I said, "Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go, do whatever you want me to do. Whatever that means, I'll do it." And God tested me. I surrendered to preach that Sunday night publicly, and on that Saturday, here comes Uncle Kenny, my uncle. He just lives across the yard from us. Lives on the Anders block, we call it. He lives in the house next door. He comes over and says, "I heard you surrendered to preach." I said, "Yes, sir, I sure did." And he said, "I want you to preach for me tomorrow." Tomorrow. He was pastoring a little country church outside town a few miles. He's sickly and didn't feel well. And he said, "Why don't you come preach for me tomorrow, Sunday morning and Sunday night?" I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I borrowed my sister's Bible. She had a study Bible. All I had was just one of those award Bibles. So I borrowed her Bible and got to studying. And went out there. My dad had to drive me. I didn't have a driver's license. My dad knew all about that church. It's the church where he got saved. So he drove me out to the church, like a reunion to him. There's about a dozen or 15 or 20 people that went to church out there. And he knew them all by name. He drove me out there. And I can't remember at this time. Most of the time, they didn't have a pianist. And they just had somebody who couldn't carry a tune in the bucket stand up and just sing a cappella. They'd sing a few songs of an old hymnal, and then they just, whoever's going to preach, get up and preach, and I got up and preached. After I got done preaching that Sunday morning, I went back that Sunday night. Uncle Kenny said, "Why don't you come back next Sunday?" And so I preached there in his church that he pastored every Sunday morning and every Sunday night for several months. And so glad that God opened that door. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Now, not everybody's called to preach, you know that. Ladies and gentlemen, I found out in my life that is that God wants me to be surrendered to Him all the time. And sometimes He brings us to points in our life where it's time to get everything on the altar again. Surrender to Him and abandon to Him and not hold anything back from Him. That's God's will. Before God ever called me to preach in that room that night, He prepared me. And that is, He prepared me with holiness. I mean, I was repenting of everything I could, getting as right as I knew to be with God. And preparing me, I wanted whatever God wanted. He had brought my heart to the point. I wasn't there before. That is, I wanted, God, whatever You want. Whatever Your purpose is, whatever pleases You, God, I surrender to it. Whatever it is that pleases You, that's what I want to do. Now listen, when you lay yourself on the altar before God and surrender to Him like that, what you've stepped into is the realm of God's will. If you want to know the will of God, if you want to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, if you want to know it by experience, you got to lay yourself on the altar with everything you are as a living sacrifice and surrender everything to Him. Everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. And I pray, Father, that You would operate in our hearts in such a way that, God, those who need to get surrendered, God, to get everything on the altar tonight, God, those You've been dealing with and working in and waking up, that, God, You would, Father, help them to get it all there, totally surrendered. And, God, I pray, Father, that You'll move upon the hearts of the lost, those who haven't been saved. That God be able to get everything surrendered to You, Lord. Abandon their life and heart and soul to You. Not hold back anything from You, God. God, get it all laid out before You so they can get saved tonight. God, all the filth and ungodliness, God, all that sin and wickedness just laying it before You and saying, God, I can't do anything with it. I surrender myself to You. Would You help us in this moment for Your glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.